Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. When they shred it, we dig it out of the trash.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. This is the Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio. Very happy to have you with us. If you heard yesterday's show...
Has anybody ever heard of Rachel Maddow?
You'll know that I spent perhaps an indulgent amount of time in the underbelly discussing the most recent story, which I have to say I find both simultaneously scary and hilarious, about Dick Cheney. The vice president's totally unhinged, I don't work for you, all power is mine argument, that he doesn't have to comply with an executive order. It's an executive order about how the executive branch of government is supposed to deal with classified material, classified information. Dick Cheney's argument that he doesn't have to comply with the rules about classified information, his argument is that his office, that would be the office of the vice president of the United States, is not part of the executive branch of government. Seriously. Joining us to discuss is John Dean. He is former White House counsel to Richard Nixon. He's the author of Worse Than Watergate, The Secret Presidency of George W. Bush. John Dean, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rachel.
You have written exhaustively about the penchant for secrecy in this administration. Does this recent revelation about Dick Cheney trying to avoid this kind of oversight surprise you, or does this seem to be part of the overall strategy?
I think it's part of the very clear pattern that's existed from day one with this vice president, and it goes all the way back to the campaign where we saw this kind of secrecy about his health, and it's just gone right on through. And what he's now creating is a vice presidency that exists in a black hole, if you will.
It's interesting that he's pushing, and I mean, this is an ostentatious push for privacy. The argument that he's not part of the executive branch is mind-blowing. But it's interesting to me that he is pushing for this for himself and not for the White House, for example. He's pushing for this for incredible amounts of secrecy, extending even to who visits the vice presidential residence. You know, it's more than just the energy policy. It's more than just his health. All of this stuff around his office in a very activist way, in a way that he hasn't necessarily extended to George W. Bush's office. And that makes me feel like it's not just an ideological commitment. There's something personally driving him on this.
Well, I think that Dick Cheney went through some kind of trauma back when he was chief of staff for Gerald Ford, and that's the time they deconstructed the imperial presidency, and Cheney's never gotten over it. And that's part of the luggage he carried back to Washington with him with a very clear agenda to try to re-enhance the powers of the presidency. He now seems to think he can do this single-handedly as by empowering the vice president with heretofore powers that never were dreamed. The man who really built the vice presidency and made it attractive for somebody like Dick Cheney to take the job to come back to Washington was Walter Mondale. Mondale certainly, he just made it a functional office. He made it like a super aide to the president. And in other words, somewhere between a cabinet officer and a chief of staff, if you will, that's where the vice president operated. Cheney has really caused a lot of people who study these things, like myself, to have great worry about this office, which really has very few constitutional anchors. He has no accountability to anybody other than theoretically the president, but the president can't fire him. It is really a very interesting post in that regard.
The president can't fire the vice president.
President cannot fire the vice president. Absolutely not.
Wow, I'd never even thought about that before, but I guess you're right. So the only element of accountability.
He is selected by one man, the president. It's always been informally. It's done at the campaign stage or under the 23rd Amendment when there's a vacancy. It's the president who fills the vice presidency. So he needs one vote, and he can't get fired. It's a hell of a job.
And in the informal selection process of how to find George W. Bush's vice presidential running mate, remember that the person who picked Dick Cheney in 2000 was Dick Cheney.
he couldn't find anybody else qualified.
Right. It's stupendous. Well, John, what about this this argument that he's making that he is not part of the executive branch. I mean, on the one hand, it's hilarious. On the other hand, it seems like it's coming from, at least in the press reports about it today, it's coming from some sort of position that he feels that because he's technically the president of the Senate, maybe he's part of Congress instead of being part of the executive branch.
Well, what they're claiming is the executive order that covers the classification of documents it says that any entity within the executive branch, he's claiming he's not even an entity within the executive branch because he says he has legislative responsibilities. Well, there are lots of people within the executive branch who have legislative responsibilities. And I can guarantee you that 99.9% of Cheney's time is spent on executive responsibilities, and less than 1% of his time is spent on legislative responsibilities. He has no power to speak on the floor of the Senate, except when they're out of session, and he wants to get in somebody's face, like Pat Leahy. He has no vote excepting to break a tie. He can sit and preside, but since Thomas Jefferson decided that was a waste of time, not many vice presidents have done that.
Right. And there's also the rejoinder to Dick Cheney's assertion about his legislative responsibilities that Henry Waxman made today, which I think is right on target. And that is that this is an executive order that covers the vice president's access to classified information. He has that classified information not because he can break ties in the Senate, but because he's the vice president as part of the executive branch. And so because he's getting this classified stuff as an executive officer, he needs to be governed in the way he deals with classified information as an executive officer is. And his assertions are just insane. Yeah.
What's also happening is the right to inspect how he is handling his classified information is not being made by the Congress at this point. It's being made by the National Archives, which is a part of the executive branch. It is the head of the archives is appointed by the president. They operate under this executive order on classification, and one of their responsibilities of this office that controls classified information is to see that people are complying with the regulations and rules. And Cheney clearly isn't. He's had two major problems in his office that have gone public, where one of his staff leaked information about a Philippine president and resigned. Scooter Libby, who clearly leaked information and got convicted for perjury. These are major disruptions in how one handles classified information. So there's good reason to look at the way he is handling it, but yet he has not only denied access for this oversight office of the executive branch, he's tried to abolish it.
Yeah, and that's fascinating. I mean, I should note before, and I want to talk about the abolishment proposal, but he did, it's interesting that he allowed these inspections of his office in 2001 and 2002, and then starting in 2003, he decided to block them. So he said he changed his mind legally about whether or not he could resist them at the midpoint of his first term, which is intriguing for those of us who are wondering if there might be something specific in his office that he's trying to hide. But on the issue of him proposing abolishing this office, it's the Information Security Oversight Office at the National Archives. Does this office only exist to enforce this executive order about classification?
It exists to collect information, basically, about it. There are absolutely no sanctions under the executive order excepting that people are, if they can lose their access to classified information if they violate the executive order. Theoretically, Cheney could be told no more classified information because he's totally refused to comply with it. But that's the only sanction. Just like his destruction of records of who's been visiting his house up at the Naval Observatory, that's a clear violation of the Presidential Records Act. But there are no sanctions again.
Wow. We used to rely on shame. We don't have that to rely on anymore. One other development that we've learned about today after the initial release of information from Henry Waxman's office yesterday is that in addition to blocking the inspection and making this argument that he's not part of the executive branch and then proposing that the office trying to do the inspection be abolished, Dick Cheney also apparently proposed to the Justice Department that they abolish the right to appeal anything like this. to the Justice Department. He proposed that not only should the agency be abolished, but the thing that brought this whole issue to the Justice Department's attention, that procedure should be abolished. There should be no appeal.
Yeah, it's going back to, you know, his initial compliance. He may well have waived his right to object by letting them come in and do the inspection twice.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, I don't think, you know, Cheney is one who would like to litigate all these things because the federal bench is now filled, particularly in the District of Columbia, with former lawyers who are highly sympathetic to the executive branch. That's what happened when he toughed it out on his energy task force and told the General Accountancy Office they could not have any data from his task force study and took it all the way to the Supreme Court and won, which is unhealthy.
It also kills a heck of a lot of time, even if he does come out, even if he comes out not winning. I mean, by that time, he'll be medically retired or in Paraguay. You know, I mean, it's by the time some of this stuff actually gets through the courts, if he forces it that way.
Rachel, what he's doing is putting a lot of attention on who the next vice president will be and things that are going to come up in the next vice presidential debate, where it's going to be asked, now, how do you envision this office that actually has no accountability to it?
Yeah.
And there may well be some statutory action as a result of Waxman's inquiries.
What do you see as the next step in terms of trying to pin Cheney down on this stuff? Do you think this immediately becomes a court case? Or
let me tell you the fastest way to get him to comply.
Yeah.
Cut off his salary. Cut off his salary for all of his staff. And the Congress has the power to do that. And say, until you comply, until you let the inspectors in, and until you honor, you know, at least your own executive order, we don't recognize you as being a part of the legislative branch. You're certainly not a part of the House of Representatives, and let the House start the process of cutting off his money.
Yeah. Of course, that would hurt him more if he wasn't getting deferred salary from Halliburton.
Well, let him pay his staff out of his own pocket and his rental expense at the executive office building.
Yeah. John Dean, thank you for joining us and walking us through this stuff. I think this is one of the most fascinating Cheney developments in a long time. And we look forward to having you back as this spins through the system. At least we hope it does. John Dean, thank you.
Bye, Rachel.
John Dean, former White House counsel to Richard Nixon. His most recent book is called Worse Than Watergate, The Secret Presidency of George W. Bush. 46 minutes past the hour. Today's Underbelly with awkward sound effects coming up next.
Do you have a question for Rachel Maddow? Call us at 212-871-8173 or email us from maddowonline.com. Air America Radio.